You know, Aaron, I actually hear that when I'm editing the podcasts. And it's like, oh my god, creepy breathing Aaron voice. and you're lucky I cut that parts out.
Why?
I want to be remembered as the creepy breathing voice.
Creepy breathing man.
Alright, welcome to the 27th episode of Talking Pixels. I'm your host, Rakan. We're watching, or we've watched, Street Fighter, the movie, the 1994 live-action film. And I'm joined with Johan, Aaron, and Bendar. We've all watched the film, and we have things to say. And I think a lot of us have already watched this film. It was like one of the first video game film adaptations. After like Super Mario, yeah, it was the first batch of films. Do you guys have any history about these about this film, Aaron? Any thoughts, or Johan?
I mean, first of all, did someone not watch this movie before?
Oh yeah, good question. I've seen it. No. I've seen it as a kid. You guys?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Yeah, me too.
Bender?
I remember seeing it at the age of 16. It was the first 15 rated movie that I wasn't allowed to get into because I didn't look 16. And I ended up walking out of the movie. It was the first movie I ever walked out of. Well, I was just disappointed. The momentum is lost.
You were 16, 15, and you walked out of the theater.
Yep.
So you were really into Street Fighter then, I guess?
No, not really. I was just into video games and it was exciting. You know, to see a video game made into a movie.
Oh, so this was your first experience of, like, you can't make a good movie out of a video game kind of thing?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
I even watched this before I watched Super Mario.
Strange enough, yeah, I think I'm the same camp there with Bender. Like we had a VHS, and I think somebody had it. And we were watching it, and I was like, this movie's absolutely terrible, and I can't continue watching this. And I think I was the same thing. Like, I liked video games, and I liked movies, and I know that this is not a good movie or a good representation of the video game. Culture, or community, or that video game especially. And, yeah, there are holes in my memory from this film. I thought I've remembered it all, but apparently I don't think I've watched all of it. So I might have walked out, get pizza or something, and walk back in. I don't know what happened. As a kid, that's my story with this film. And I absolutely hated it. And I came around to it after, you know, growing up and reading about the actor who played Bison, Raul Julia. And how he was literally dying of cancer while working on this film.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Stomach.
No, he wasn't.
He had something in his stomach. He had an operation.
He had a stomach surgery.
Okay.
Okay. Then he went back to work, did this movie. Okay. Uh-huh. Then he had stomach pains. A little bit before he had some... some bacteria or whatever infect his stomach, like a week before that or something. Then he had abdominal pains. There we go. That's what you say in English. Mm-hmm. I know English.
Yeah.
He went to the hospital. He didn't think it was something serious, but you know he should because of the surgery and everything. And you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he died. He died of cardiac arrest, I believe.
Yeah, and then he had a stroke.
Oh my god. Okay.
And then about 4 days later, he slipped into a coma. And then a few days, I don't know how many days, but a few days later after that, he died. So it wasn't cancer.
Okay, yeah. I'm reading it right now. It says it was rumored that he had stomach cancer.
Yeah, that he had surgery for. We don't know what he had surgery for.
The funny thing as a kid? This is me as a teenager. We heard about that he died. And the rumor reached us that he died on set, that Van Damme killed him because of one of his kicks.
Yes, because he's so powerful.
Yeah.
It was like one of those things with Marlon Manson's rumors.
So anyway, my experience is that I remember watching this on TV. It's like, it's one of those movies that TV will just put on in the afternoon because it's garbage and no one cares, right? I mean, and it doesn't cost anything because it's a terrible movie, I assume, anyway. It was probably on in the evening at some point as well. It's been on several times. And there was explosions and things and a bit of fighting. But the thing I remember most, other than like, because I remember like the costumes and like how people looked and whatever, like now when I watch it again, I remember all that stuff. But the thing I remember the most is that nothing really made sense to me. Like, there wasn't a coherent story. There's much more of a coherent story now that I watched the entire thing from beginning to end, but it's still, you know, it's not a good story. But when I was watching on TV, it didn't make any sense to me. Like why are they going in, like, this boat down a canal? Like you know, like, and then there's explosions, and it's all just fucking weird. And he's on a fucking game machine. Like, you know, doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm also reading here that he decided to get into the movie Street Fighter because his kids were excited. Yeah. And then they would, you know, spend more time with him on set. Okay. I had this weird memory of, like, reading a Times article. And I don't want to use the word fake news, but it was like he was sick and he wanted to spend more time with his kids. Something. Yeah, that's weird. Okay. I could be misremembering, I could be misquoting, but that's how
I don't even know what you're saying.
Oh, that I read that he was sick and he wanted to spend more time with his kids before he died.
Okay.
And that's why he was doing this movie. And then everyone I spoke to also had the idea that he was dying of cancer, so it's weird. Then now that I'm actually reading it, like, no, that's not true. It's weird that sort of myth.
No, I read that it was rumored that he had stomach cancer, right? Yeah. Like that's why he had the surgery and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's not. I mean, he got rid of the cancer, right?
Through the surgery.
That's why you have the surgery, right? So
yeah, okay. And then he might have wanted to pick this movie to spend more time with his kids.
Probably. I mean, that's okay, probably accurate. I also read that, like, he when he went to the hospital for the paint, he brought a script with him and he was reading it in the hospital bed and whatever. And, like, it's not like he thought he was going to die.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not. I mean, that's interesting, but it's not the movie. Shall we get back to talking about the movie?
Yeah. All right. The movie. So yeah, Street Fighter. Watched it again. Got a nice group of people. I think we were like 10 people in all. And it was a lot of fun, I have to say. And going back to Raul, his eyes as Vega were amazing this entire time. Like, how does he do that? Is that something he does in Adam's Family? You guys watch that as well, or
what do you mean? What do you mean? Thing he does with his eyes?
Like the way he opens his eyes, and it's like you can see everything. Like
he does that in Adam's Family.
He does that in Adam's Family. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it was amazing here. And like you said, the costumes. As a kid, I'm like, they look really cheap and dumb. And what the hell is wrong with everybody here? And today, it's even funnier because I'm like, I know cosplayers put more effort and look better than the official movie costumes. So everything looks terrible and cheap.
Yeah. But I have to say, I really enjoy this movie now.
Yeah,
because I went in knowing it's a bad movie and not taking it seriously and just enjoying it for what it is, right? And I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, has he ever acted well in any movie? I mean, he is so bad.
Oh my god, yes.
Because I think Mr. Bison, I think that's pretty good acting. I mean, it's ridiculous and over the top, but I think that's very intentional, right?
What about his speech? Where he's like, he's not a madman. He does that speech in one take. It's like a 2 minute, 3 minute rambling speech. It's amazing. But sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. When he's talking, like, when he's gonna build this city and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's I was watching that scene and I was thinking to myself, this is a legitimately good scene.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous character, but it's really well acted. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like, he's actually, you know, he got the lines and the delivery. Everything was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a long scene.
And it's wonderful because there's this great contrast between, like, this guy that's really doing a good job and essentially everyone else in the movie.
Well, yeah, everyone else is really terrible. He plays it really well as Bison. And, like you said, it was quite a good contrast between the two.
Well, actually, the word contrast hits the nail on the coffin for this movie. And in regards, like you said, Raoul is like reciting Shakespeare in a very B movie. It's a B movie script that's made out of Street Fighters. For me, the way this movie would have worked, if they just made the heroes DJ and Zangief, those were the best. Those were the guys who knew what kind of movie they were in.
Zangief was fantastic.
He knew what kind of movie he was in. He belonged in that movie. Nobody else did.
And DJ, the constant, like, the way he acts behind characters. And he's almost, like, smiling to the camera.
Yeah, you mean Black Rob Schneider?
Black Rob Schneider.
That's what he reminded me of.
Yeah, I can now think of it. That's a good comparison.
He started. Oh my God. I know that actor. He started a stupid movie called Juana Man, where he plays, where he's a basketball player that pretends he's a female basketball player to play in a female league. That was another stupid movie. Anyway, just.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for the, like, podcast listeners, I mean, I feel like everyone's seen this movie. Like, do we assume everyone's seen it? Do we talk about? I think we should talk about what the plot is in case someone hasn't seen it. No? Yeah?
I mean, sure, but I mean, before
the plot. Yeah, before we go there, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll let someone else take the plot, but before we do that, I like, the plot is just an excuse to get all these characters to do something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the movie's about showing off the Street Fighters in live action.
Yeah.
That's really the point. And I feel like the only purpose of the plot is to get them together in different situations and have them fight in a Street Fighter-esque style. Right? Yeah. And I say Street Fighter-esque because, you know, it's...
But not really. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like for a movie called Street Fighter, there wasn't
much
a lot... Yeah. Street fighting or fighting in general, there was like very little fighting. Well, there's a lot of guns.
I attribute it to the editing. You notice there was no single shot editing. Everything is like a paced together. Different shots just paced together. You don't really get a feel of anything.
Yeah, even like the finale fight, like we have three different people fighting and it's just cut between.
Yeah, it's very
different
annoying.
Fights. And there's a lot of match cuts. I noticed. I feel like the editor loved the concept of match cutting. It's basically, for example, this guy's punching. A is punching B, right? And then you suddenly see C and D fighting.
Exactly.
And then the same punch. And it's like, wait, weren't we in that fight? No. The punch is thrown and it's a close-up on the hand, but it's somebody else's hand. And now we're somewhere else.
That's so deep, man.
It's just a fucking simple technique called match cutting. And they just, I feel like the guy or the director is like, oh, this is great. This is fucking fantastic. I'll just put it everywhere. Just match cuts everywhere in this film. It's so annoying. Like, you know, seeing it, like, and knowing how it works. And then seeing them use it wrongly all the time. But yeah, like you said. But also, I'll go even a step beyond that, Bender. Mm. I would say, like for example... When Vega was going to fight Ryu the first time.
Oh, that was...
I mean, okay, here we go. Here's a street fight. We're going to have a fight. Interrupted. Fucking tank rolls in and, you know, there's no fight.
You are all arrested.
Yeah. And, like, most of the fights were all, like, main characters fighting nobodies. I think at the very end we have, like, character versus character fights. But until then, it's like, it's all just, okay, this guy fighting a bunch of nobodies, that guy fighting a bunch of nobodies, this guy snapping a bunch of nobodies' necks. Yeah, sorry, I don't even know why I'm complaining about this. I'm like a fucking neckbeard fanboy. No,
I mean, you do have a point. Like, if you have like all these characters and they're supposed to fight, right?
Yeah.
Presumably, they should fight each other, and yeah. Isn't that a great opportunity for growth? I mean, you know, if you're writing a story, wouldn't it be like, oh, you know, they get defeated and whatever, and mm-hmm. no one believes in them anymore, and then whatever, and they have to like work their way up and whatever, and
yeah,
intrigue and stuff. And I don't know, like, there's nothing of that in this movie, of course. It's very surprisingly straightforward with a surprisingly convoluted plot at the same time. I've kidnapped all the hostages.
$20 billion. Because I'm evil.
Also, isn't that a lot for, like, what do you have, like 50 hostages?
Yes, exactly. Like, no, he had 63 allied workers from 15 allied nations, and he wanted $20 billion.
Yeah, seems a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would never happen. But it's, yeah. there's more things that would never happen in this movie. things like, for example, like I know it's like the Allied Nations instead of the United Nations.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's obviously the United Nations, right?
The blue hats and everything, yeah.
And here's the thing, the United Nations...
They have a policy of
not... ...do peacekeeping.
Yeah, okay.
Right? They don't go into active war zones. They might like be on the fringes of it, but only to keep it from spreading. And the point is to not have war breakout. They don't go in like, you know, like let's take down North Korea.
Yeah.
That's not when you'll see the UN. That's when you'll see individual state armies if that's going to happen. Yeah. Right?
You
would have the US going, for example.
I kind of have a feeling that they were looking at Bison like sort of a Pablo Escobar of those times. Remember that in 1994? Because they keep referencing you are a drug lord.
Okay, but sure. But then, why would the UN?
Well, yeah. Why would the UN? Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
like, it doesn't make any sense. It's so fucking weird. Oh,
you want something that makes sense? Bison dollars. This will be equivalent to 5 British pounds. This will be the rate that we will force them after kidnapping their queen. That's not how economy works, Mike.
After kidnapping their queen, yes.
That is not how economy works.
Because what would happen if you did that? Well, the pound would tank, right? Because it's now pegged against this worthless currency that he can just print more of, and so the UK's economy would go to the shitter. Also, of course, why would they do that? Just because he has the queen? But
well,
sure.
Well, that just shows how little foresight you have. Bison saw Bitcoin coming.
Okay.
I
also want to get back to the plot. I mean, Aaron, what did you think of the plot?
It was kind of a mess. But I don't know. I agree with you on that. The whole point behind it was to just get characters to interact in certain ways. They probably could have streamlined it, but I do like the fact that they didn't just set it as a tournament. Like, they tried to take something else to put the characters in. Rather than just set it up as the Street Fighter tournament or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was nice that they tried. But it's ridiculous. Everything in this film is ridiculous.
I mean, is it as ridiculous as the casting? I feel like one is more insane than the other. And I feel like casting is an insane thing. And I'd like to talk about that as well. Like Sagat... He's a weird guy from Thailand, and he's old, and he's weird. And Bison, why was Royal Julia cast as Bison? Does anyone have any answer?
Did you see the film?
Yeah.
That's why they cast him as Bison, because he's amazing.
Yeah, we already talked about this.
Yeah, like as a kid, I'm like, or even now, I'm like, okay, you want Bison to be this big buff guy. Who's big and menacing. You know, put the muscly guys. Put Arnold, I don't know, somebody as Bison.
Well, speaking of
Blanka, way better.
The guy who played the Hulk could have done Blanka. That was a very good opportunity to make him play Blanka. Can't remember his name.
But apparently they had no money for casting because Capcom demanded Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah,
and he demanded $8 million of their $35 million budget.
And then they cast Bison.
Yeah, and then they cast Raul Julia.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, now we have $30 each for the rest of the cast.
And also, this is weird and I don't understand why, but yeah. They wanted a token Australian.
Oh, because they were filming in conjunction with some sort of Australian Film Commission or something. They were getting funded from them.
Okay, so that's why she's in it.
They demanded that they cast at least one Australian.
Okay, yeah. So they cast everyone else at, like, at this point when this demand was like, oh shit, okay. And then they're like, okay, well, we have Cammy left, so, you know. And also, well, she's on, like, the top 100 sexy women at, like, spot 70 or whatever. So, you know, sure, Kylie, you wanna, you know? And apparently she did.
And apparently she regrets it, and I think that's unfair. This is an amazing film, and she should be proud.
I mean, I am looking at the very end, like, when they all pose as everything's exploded.
Oh, and the Screenfighter logo. That was gold.
Fucking amazing. And it's great, because I'm looking at her, because she's standing with her ass towards the camera and turning her head.
Just like the pose.
Yeah, but, like, it's the sexist video game pose, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't mind in video games, because it's very funny.
Yeah.
But it's just fucking weird when it's live action.
Uh-huh.
But that is her pose, so...
Well, it just goes to show that she researched the character.
Well, they... yeah.
I mean... But, okay, yeah. Back on casting. Why Van Damme... Why is he cast as Guile?
Like, because he was huge in the action scene in the mid-90s.
Apparently. Yeah, he was. Van Damme basically was something at that point.
I mean, they could have put him as Bison.
He's actually he would have fit the role of Bison, but Van Damme would have been the hero.
Has he played bad guy?
I don't think so. I think he has an ego issue.
No, he did. He did in the Expendables.
Oh yeah.
I mean.
Well, that's now. That's recent.
He definitely doesn't have an ego issue now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you've seen JCVD, which I recommend, that's an excellent film.
It is, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely his best film.
Okay. But, back in the day, he probably had an ego. And he probably wouldn't want to be,
he was the muscles from Brussels, man.
The muscles from Brussels. Yeah, but, like, they could have hired somebody else who can speak. I mean, they could have put him somewhere else. I mean, why is Guile the American, you know, blonde?
Because he's the main character.
Well, that's Capcom's way. Instead of whitewashing, let's just shift the tone of the main hero and put it on Guile. Because because at that point people wanted to apply more to the Western audience. Now movies are more global.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I get that. Make Guile the hero of the movie, but yeah, the muscles from Brussels is not. But American hero. But yeah, go ahead.
Reckon. I get everything you're saying. I understand.
Yeah.
But. I'm really glad they went with all of the terrible and weird decisions they did. Because it makes the film so much better.
Totally, yeah.
I just have one geeky nitpick.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Honda a Hawaiian?
Because Bender, they shifted the tone of the movie. They're not whitewashing it. They just simply shifted it to a different, you know, area with the same color tone. I see what you guys do. Like, you know, like when I ask a legitimate question, you just fucking troll me this entire time. Like, why do I have a podcast to talk about movies?
Let's just fucking troll Rakan.
When we ask legitimate questions time. That's what the podcast should be called.
You just noticed that?
Yeah, it's like... I have been noticing this.
Welcome to Legitimate Questions.
Corner. Like, I have philosophical questions about why are people doing things in a certain way? Oh, well, you know, because it's awesome, dude.
How is people?
Exactly. So yeah, okay. So like you guys said, nothing makes sense in this movie. So I guess that's it.
No, it's a B movie script. It's basically a guy wants to take over the world, hands over ransom.
Is it a B movie script? Isn't it a C movie script? Isn't it worse? Like, isn't it so bad? It's fucking awful.
To a degree. To a degree. Like I said, I would have enjoyed it as a bad movie if it's not for the editing. The editing really gave me a headache. It's like they wanted to ensure that everybody got their own single shot in the movie.
Because they paid like $2 for the costume, and they had to show what those costumes look like. Just, you know, they couldn't just make it go to waste. I also like how Zangief dresses Ryu and Ken in the traditional red and white clothes.
Yeah.
So it's like, now you guys look like, you know, part of the army. Like, oh.
Because that's what they wear in the game.
So what they wear in the game is wrong. And part of, you know, bad guy costume.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Mm-hmm. Or I really like when they have the stealth boat and Bison gets a Capcom fighting arcade stick.
Yeah, yes.
Arcade cabinet thing,
arcade cabinet stick. And he's attacking them.
I'll say one thing about this movie. It makes for a great drinking game. Drink every time you see a Street Fighter game reference.
Okay.
In a film called Street Fighter.
In a movie called Street Fighter. You're dead.
No, a direct video game reference.
That's a great tip for like how to kill someone and get away with it.
He was playing a drinking game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But speaking of like putting people in costumes, it's also Chun-Li.
Uh-huh.
It's also like, let's have some sexy time.
Yeah, how do we get spiked bracelets on Chun-Li? Let's make him into a chain bracelet. Hmm. Like, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in the movie just for the sake of bringing exposition to direct references to the video game.
Hmm. But that scene with Chun-Li and it's Bison's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how he gets out of his costume. And puts on his pyjama. I don't know, what is that?
Yeah, and he switches the hat.
He's got a furry hat.
So good.
That
painting?
Yeah.
The painting? Yeah.
The painting on the wall of the weird clown with the bison hat is amazing.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was good.
But what I love, the way that she was talking about her dad and how he killed him, and the way he just kept making eye contact, like, I'm going to fuck you right now. Yes, this is happening. I'm putting on my robe.
Oh no! She was
and
like
wizard hat.
I love the thing where she talks about the village being destroyed and her father is being killed and she's gonna have revenge. And he's like, "Oh, I don't remember this." He's like, "What? What do you mean you don't remember?" He's like, "Oh, for you it was a big thing, you know, but for
it was
me,
the most important event in your life.
Life, you know, that bison has graced your town.
Village, yeah. And to me,
but for me, it was only Tuesday." Amazing. Like, lines like that, I just love it. Go ahead.
That thing from him is undercut by the fact that in her story, he loses. Bison gets driven off.
Yeah.
And kills her father as he's leaving.
Yeah.
So he's like, for me, it was a Tuesday. I failed to take villages all the time back then. I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh my god, you're right. Yeah.
Yes,
I feel like
yes, he doesn't remember that one defeat because they're all defeats.
Yeah, because there's defeats. So many of them.
There are single one-liner gold in this movie, I'll have to admit.
Mm-hmm. Quick, change the channel.
Oh, that was funny. That was.
Yes, it was so good.
One thing I was
and the people. The reaction, people just staring at him, was amazing.
Or when Honda and that other guy were trapped in the dungeon and say, give me a hand. Oh, we've only been here for 2 hours. Maybe in 2 months I'll try. Homophobic reference.
Oh my god, yeah. I did not let that slip. I was like, what is happening? And I called it out. Like, prison, gay culture. joke.
Good on you, man. Good on you.
In this kid's movie. So, good on the scriptwriter for getting it passed through the ratings board.
I also like when they're the whatever guy is trying to torture Honda.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very funny. He's not reacting at all. But then it's weird. So he gets hit a lot of times, and we see it on camera. Yeah. And then later, his back, he just has two whips, like lashes on his back. And I mean, I don't know if you guys ever seen pictures from someone that's been whipped for real, mm-hmm. but it's fucking horrific.
No, I've seen it. Yeah.
So this kid's movie, guys. I mean, and I'm not saying they had to go all out. I'm just saying. We saw him get hit more than twice. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, because they did spend a lot of time thinking about, like, how people look in this movie. Hmm. That's, I think, the thing they spent the most time on. Is, like, you know, when they get the right costumes, how the costumes are going to look, and, like, you know, yeah. Details like that.
And the award for the most cringiest jokes was when Bison looked at Sagat and said, "I guess you didn't see that, did you?" And went on putting one hand on his
eye.
Yes.
When he covered one eye, says, "I guess you didn't see that."
Well, I'm not sure that was like supposed to be a joke. More just like mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way I took it.
It was like sarcastic mean.
But it was one of those moments, like a lot of other moments in this movie, when Bison is... way over the top, like it's not normal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's just that, but that's, he was always at 11 the entire time.
Yes, it's he great. It's never... so good. Like, could you imagine if he was like at 8 in this movie? Oh, this movie wouldn't work. Like, it wouldn't be funny. It would just be bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, like, what made this movie is Bison. I mean, like, Van Damme is pretty bad. But Bison is so what carries this film.
He's terrible. Does he get any jokes, Van Damme? I'm sure he does. But
yeah, he does, but they never flat. Land.
It never lands.
Yeah, they never land, because he can't deliver.
Yeah.
Because DJ had a bunch of, like, reaction jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they find out that Guile is dead. And he's like... hooray! And then Bison is like, "No, I am sad." And he's like, "Oh, okay then."
I just went to the clown again, the clown Bison.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, I would amazing. Have that on my wall. That is priceless.
Can I also talk about, like, how Chun-Li was trying to find out where Bison is, but like working independently with the AN?
No, you can't talk about that.
Yeah. So, and then she finds out that Guile is a zombie, or, you know, he's just playing dead.
Yes.
Yeah, he'd been lying on that slab.
Yes,
for so long, waiting for someone to come along.
And I was thinking to myself, like, are they going to explain this? Like, is there going to be some sort of at least implicit explanation of why he's just laying there waiting?
Yeah, because I initially thought, oh, so they gave him that mythical chemical that makes you pretend to be dead and it's just worn off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like, no, he's just like, I was just hanging out on the slab.
Just waiting.
He was
it was really comfortable. I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
No, he was ruminating. That's the word for you.
It's the same as the cop from Hackers. He's like, he's asking for the pillow, and they just wait there. Oh, here you go. Chink. Click.
Can somebody explain to me what Dalsim, what was he a doctor of exactly?
Of VR. VR and, you know, human psycho torture.
Creating super soldier brains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was it when
I told you VR is going to be the downfall of humanity?
Oh my god.
Like,
yeah, that was trendy movie at the time too, wasn't it?
Oh, like VR, the bad, like, VR.
The bad VR, exactly. Before they realized that we cannot do VR right now.
Yeah, so...
And you're meant to put the images on the inside of the goggles.
Exactly!
Not the outside.
Yeah. So this movie is a warning beacon that, you know, VR is gonna ruin people. It's just gonna create, you know, child soldiers.
It depends what they watch.
Child soldiers already.
Because kids are the only ones on
big
on
change,
VR.
But sure.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about something else. Like when he switches the programming to be nice, the first time he does it. Mm-hmm. The guard is sitting right there, and before he switches it, he's like, all the time, which must be awful to listen to, by the way. Yeah. And then he's like, Okay, so if you have a fan that's blowing in your ear and it suddenly stops, like the noise, not the wind, wouldn't you be like, oh, that stopped, that's weird?
He should have just pretended that he was still being arr, so like nobody would be, you know, suspicious.
Yeah, or the guard would like not be in the room or whatever, because they made a big thing of showing the guard being like potentially busting him.
Yeah,
and then they do this really unbelievable thing immediately after. Like why do you, I mean, I know why they're doing it. It's because they're not thinking. Because it's not that sort of movie, but it still bothered me.
Yeah, there's just so much. oh, you know what bothered me also? Remember the stealth boat?
Mm-hmm.
I like how like the boat was stealth, and there you could see the waves
water.
And all the water being displaced.
They could never guess where it comes.
Yes.
It's a stealth boat.
But
they have no idea.
It seemed like they were like they were the people, Bison and everyone else in that room, they were all like, yes, there should be something there, but we can't see it. What could it be?
Like this, all this.
And we're watching the same thing that they're watching, and it's obviously a boat that you can't see.
Also, like, how much stealth are we talking about when it's like, has a Gatling cannon and it's shooting rockets and there's explosions all around it?
Yep.
Like, no,
It's
stealth.
Oh,
they don't know we're here.
We're busted. It's not the rail gun. It's that they can actually see us now.
They hacked us.
But they got like immediately busted with that stealth boat. I didn't even get the reason they were using it. Because the first time they went to a radar tower, they blew it up and then they gave themselves away.
Yeah, like what's the point?
Because I thought the plan was that the main attack would start.
Mm-hmm.
And then using that as a distraction.
Yeah.
The stealth boat would come up.
No. The stealth boat was supposed to be the distraction, no?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Exactly, yeah.
They won't use the one boat to fake the attack. Or did I get that wrong?
I mean, that's what I thought. They're using the one boat as a distraction,
no, because
but also, also takes out the radar.
He said there was another entrance that he could get in and get in to get
the radar
hostages out.
Oh. Okay.
But didn't that happen after? Isn't that like after he jumped out of the boat because they were gonna get blown up? I don't know. I mean, I don't think this actually matters too much.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
I'll keep this in mind next time I watch this movie.
Speaking of things that doesn't matter, what was the point of that government official from the UN asking them not to go? And
he's a bureaucratic paper pusher.
Oh, so
that scene had 0 point because there was no conflict there.
I remember that was something reading about this, that they purposely did this because there was something about funding this movie, and then it's like they're making fun of the accountant who was financing this. There was some weird financing shit.
Oh, I love it when a film completely grinds to a halt to make fun of someone on the accounting team.
Yeah,
they're the best jokes.
No, but they were trying to get this like inspiring speech out of it as well, and it's just not. It's absolutely not. Like, oh, then they died for nothing, and you
but
can't
we get
go
to
home,
go home.
I'm not going home. And everyone's like, yeah, let's stay and die.
And for the stupidity in this movie, how come you can't put just one Hadouken? Just one Hadouken. How can you have a Street Fighter game without one Hadouken?
It has one Hadouken in
where
it.
Where is it?
Yeah,
where?
It does. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't
it does.
Ryu. Ryu does it, but it's like, it's really close. You can't
it's
see
really
it.
Close, and it's like, it's almost like in the 1995, was it? Godzilla film? When Godzilla doesn't breathe fire, but they kind of make it look like she does.
Hmm.
It's almost like, did he really do a Hadouken? Or did he just do a weird palm punch with some timing, with some lights?
Yeah, he said Hadouken, and it was a little bit of light, and that was it.
But on the other side, you can get Bison to do a superconductor electromagnetism.
Yeah, it's simple. Haven't you heard of it?
Yes, apparently it floats trains in Japan.
Yeah. And his desk, as he called it.
And his desk. That was straight out of, like, Bowser. Like, you know, the Super Mario World? The thing that Bowser rides? The final boss in Super Mario World? No? Anybody? Okay.
Nope.
No.
Sorry.
Mainstream normies here that don't play video games? Okay.
Yeah, normies. we're not very into the Nintendo world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was straight out of Super Mario.
The Nintendo?
The night.
The fuck? okay, sure. Sure, let's call it Nintendo from now on.
Nintendo. Or as we say in Arabic, Nintendo.
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 A Switch.
Al-a'ila.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, this is exciting.
Yeah, it's really, really, yeah. Good, great content there for everybody to listen to. That's what Bender is doing. But also, you guys were complaining about the costumes. I wanted to complain about the logo. How the Bison logo was everywhere.
Yeah, is that a complaint?
Yeah, why is that a complaint?
No, it's not a complaint. It was just amazing. The set design was just hilarious. Like in his bedroom, just everywhere, Bison logo, Bison logo, Bison logo.
Yeah, well, he really understood branding.
Exactly.
Like, Sega made fun of him for his Bison bucks, but seriously, he was on point with that shit. So, I think
something. In a way, he's like Trump, right? Like, he doesn't have a product, but he has a brand.
Actually, I that really crossed my mind when I was watching that. That kind of crossed my mind.
Right.
Megalomaniac is just so out there.
I mean, the only difference is that Trump has actual power, which is very scary, but, you know, otherwise.
He doesn't have Trump dollars.
So maybe Bison's problem was that he didn't run for president.
I think so, yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah. Mm. President Bison.
President M. Bison.
Yeah, but yeah, I could totally be like, yes, and we will bring them fire and fury. totally. I will
really
arrange a grand tournament.
Imagine
if Trump did that. He arranged like a fighting tournament for like for his glory or whatever, and you would get a
It would be perfect.
Trophy
like,
of Trump.
Oh, yeah. Someone post that on Twitter, so he thinks it's his idea.
Give it another election, and that might be the Senate, American Senate by that time.
I mean, what you need to do is you need to buy an ad that runs during Fox and Friends.
That's
what you do. Yeah, that's where you plant the ideas.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Imagine like having M. Bison read all the Trump tweets. That would be like in character. That would be amazing. Somebody find a way to get Raul Julia.
The thing is, I don't think Trump tweets works with anything but a Trump voice. It just works so much better with a Trump voice.
No, but
I love the way Stephen Colbert does the Trump voice. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, the Trump voice is great, but like I'm imagining M. Bison.
I'm gonna give it some more dignifying tone. Actually, it's the Trump voice that really gets it.
That's my mission from now on. I'm gonna find a cosplayer who does M. Bison, and I'm gonna have him read Trump tweets, and I'm going to film it.
Wait,
good luck with that.
There's been animated films and shit, right?
Yeah.
So someone must have voice acted him at some point recently.
It's not the same as the movie. It's just very generic bad guy, the way it's done.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Trump is not generic, so that's not going to work.
No.
He is unique, but I'll give him that.
But moving from like Bison and Guile.
He's the most unique.
I wanted to talk about Ryo and Ken.
Oh, my God.
And how we're introduced to them. They're like weapons dealers who are
No. But this,
not really?
This, yeah, not really, because they're good guys. They went out of their
the
way.
Scammers.
Yeah.
At one point in the movie, they actually say, "That's not fair. They're good guys like us." They had to say that line just for the kids.
Yeah, because they're good guys and they scam weapons dealers. So they're great. That's
Yeah, get it. It's like Robin Hood.
I mean, Guile makes fun of them for that and kind of guilt trips them. For thinking to get them to work with him, he's basically says, you guys think you're the good guys, but you're not really helping. Yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or
yes.
Also, what
it's
what is
a very deep plot.
What is it is. What layers.
You go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry, Rakan. Go.
I want to ask, what is the relationship between Bison and Sagat? So he's the weapons dealer, and he gets stuff to Bison.
Yeah.
Okay. But then he's like, he gives him Bison bucks?
Well, I assume that's the first time he's decided to pull that scam.
Okay.
And previously he's paid him in like American dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, judging from the reaction.
Yeah. But then he's like, you know what? American dollars, these are old news. Yeah. Bison bucks is where it's at.
Yeah, American dollars are fake news, I think is what you meant to say.
Yeah, fake news, sorry.
Fake news. and then but then they have this wonderful standoff conflict with all the Sagat guys and all the Bison guys, but it almost made
but
them
then
look as
they
equals.
All make out and go home together, which is just what
well at one point
yeah.
at one point
I mean
I
figuratively of course but still
when he told them Sagat shared the country with me
it's like share the country with me like that's more equals, it's not just like a weapons dealer. Yeah, but also I like how each one grabbed like a character. Like I'm gonna grab Ryu, and the other guy grabbed Ken, and they're trying, and Ken and Ryu are trying to like be the peacemakers between the two of them,
so that they don't get shot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they didn't go in there thinking they were gonna broker peace. They didn't even know there was a standoff.
Oh, and they're like, oh shit, we're in the middle of this. I feel like if I was in your situation, I would just like quietly walk backwards. And then have them shoot each other, so, problem solved.
Yeah, I mean, they were waiting for way too long after they realized that they were in a bad situation. They were like, yeah, okay, I guess we're in a bad situation. How's your day? I mean,
And then each one gets grabbed randomly by the other bad guy. And they're trying to convince, like, no, don't shoot each other. You're all good and friends here. But yeah, Ryo and Ken, are they dirtbags throughout the entire film because they're constantly just after, keeping themselves alive, and they're only, I think Guile convinces them to be good, or what was their motivation?
Oh, are we talking about characters have motivation now?
Ryo and Ken.
Yeah.
I
think Guile convinced them that they should work for good.
Yeah.
And
which is why they murdered him.
Yes.
They murdered the guy.
Yes. Fake murdered.
Fake news, guys. Fake news.
I don't know about all the other guards that they shot and punched, whether they'd been informed that this was going to be happening. But,
I was totally wondering about that, too.
Well, they didn't hit the truck. Right.
It looked like they were using live ammo, too. Like,
yeah, it did. They were shooting up boxes and stuff around the truck. So.
Yes, but they didn't hit the truck.
Yeah, so they were probably informed. They're like, okay, let him escape.
But I don't think any bullets in this movie actually hit anyone. I can't remember a single shot landing.
No, because they're supposed to fight each other hand by hand, right?
Yeah, that's why you put loads of guns in your Street Fighter film.
Yes. Like, it's when they have the cage fight with the Vega. I don't even remember which one of them it was that was fighting, but it's like no weapons, right? That's the one time, and it's a melee weapon, so it doesn't even make any sense because it would have been fighting anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's like no weapons.
And that I mean, that should have been that other times in this movie. It should have been like, no, I'm not going to use my guns. I shall fight you hand to hand.
Well, they did that with Bison and Guile.
I know, but not enough. I mean, considering that they decided to put guns in the first place, they should have been more, you know? Yeah, you know.
Oh my God.
I'm done, by the way.
Dalsim, his character, so he's just a scientist. Maybe as a kid, I was expecting him to have that weird
yoga fire,
long arm, stretchy thing. Like, why even call him Dalsim? Is it because they had like a scientist guy? And like, yeah, Indian guy can be scientist, it's fine.
I guess they were contractually obliged to have a character in the film or some shit. I don't know.
That makes more sense.
Well, I mean, that's like Captain Sawada. He was like the token Japanese guy. I don't remember what the reason was, but he's only there because they wanted the Japanese guy in there.
That's he doesn't do anything.
Thing. No, it was a promotional thing for something at the time, which is never a good reason to put someone in a movie.
Yeah, who is he exactly?
I think he was a character in the video game that they made after the movie.
Huh.
Yeah, he didn't exist. I mean, the guy's name is
So what, the guy's name is Sawara. His real name, the actor.
Yeah, the guy's name is Kenya Sawada, right? And so they made the character Captain Sawada in the movie. And he's the guy. I thought it was Korean while I was watching the movie. Turns out that he's Japanese.
Yeah.
And because he can't really talk English, like, you know.
Okay.
He had that one Japanese bit when Honda was fighting Zangief. Mm-hmm. And they had this Godzilla reference.
Oh my God, yeah, that was fucking weird too. And they had like, they were playing.
That was so strange. I was like, why are they suddenly speaking Japanese? And then there's a Godzilla reference immediately after. I'm like, okay, no, I get it now.
So, I mean, I feel like, you know, the guys who made this movie, they're like, okay, this game, Street Fighter, we're basing this movie, came from Japan. Let's just throw a bunch of weird, random video game shit and Japanese references. People love it. It's great. It's great. Give me some more cocaine. Thank you.
No, definitely, this cocaine was involved in the making of this movie. I would definitely
100%. 100%.
Well, okay, so let's talk about people behind the movie. So, I looked up the director.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he's done essentially nothing, okay? Like, he's a writer. Like, he's written a lot of stuff, okay?
Yes, yeah.
But I've never heard of, and I haven't looked up now either, I guess I should, but Arnold's Wrecking Company, he directed that in 73, so that's more than 20 years before this movie. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I have no fuck. Maybe it is Arnold's Wrecking Company.
Apparently it's supposed to be good. It has a good rating, 7.3.
A student tries pot for the first time, loves it, and decides to distribute it in a big business kind of way. Okay.
Soon he has the police and the mafia on his tail. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's his first film.
And but then like, he's done two TV movies. No, three TV movies.
Yeah, and some TV show.
And some episodes.
Yeah.
But and like, there's been big gaps between these.
Yeah.
So then he's written lots of stuff, but I mean...
Can I bring to light what he's written?
Yes.
Commando.
The Arnold movie?
Yeah, the 1985 horror movie, Commando. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
The first one?
The Cradle of Life. Is that the second one?
That's the second one, yeah.
He wrote Die Hard, which I think is interesting. Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
But Die Hard was adapted from the novel, and he was one of the screenwriters. There were two. Mm.
Yeah. I'm assuming for like the better stuff, like Beverly Hills Cop 3, for example, also written by. Like, I'm assuming he didn't write any of these the good things himself.
Wait. Beverly Hills Cop 3 isn't one of the good things.
Sure.
I would class that with the Flintstones.
What about Judge Dredd then?
Ooh, I think that's so bad it's good. I love it.
Which one? What was it?
Judge Dredd. The original one.
It was so bad. Actually, wasn't it released that same year?
And now the year after.
Oh, the year after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 95. So yeah, like he's been writing these weird, like I feel like his imprint has been in a lot of films like we've seen as kids
and lots of TV series as well, like $6 Million Man, which I've never seen but I know it's a very famous one. Yeah, the Bionic Woman, Knight Rider, what else did I see, something else, whatever. So he's written lots of stuff.
And like, you know, just having Die Hard under your belt is a huge achievement, I would say, you know, writing credit for Die Hard. And but then there's like shitty stuff like, you know, the Flintstones.
To be fair, this movie made money.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, it made about 90 million.
What was the budget? Like 20 million or something?
Yeah, 35 million.
Okay, yeah. A bunch of kids just ran to movie theaters and paid their money, I guess.
I mean, there's a brag on his IMDb page that like as a screenwriter, his movies have grossed over $2 billion in the box office.
Oh yeah. It's right there, so like somebody is bragging right there on the
phone. Yeah, so it's not that they're good; it's that they make money.
Yeah. Oof. That's what film is all about.
Yes, it's a business.
Yeah, like they're not here to tell stories. It's here. You're here to make money. But yeah, like one of the scenes also that kind of jumped out to a friend of mine who's like he's way into IT. He's always complaining whenever like Bison or somebody is on the screen and they're like talking to the other person. Like he was like, "What is this? In 94, how do they have this weird walkie-talkie thing that has video and they're talking to people live?" And I was just laughing. I'm like, "I don't know, dude. It's like some weird space age tech, military tech."
Oh, well, if you want to talk about that, we can talk about the set, which is pretty cheesy. It just basically gives you the entire feeling of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they really took it out of the first original Star Wars. Star Trek, sorry.
Oh, Star Trek. Like, you know.
I see what you're saying, definitely. But, I mean, okay, if we're going to talk about that sort of stuff, like... So they break into the TV network in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then they have a conversation with Guile. They took over let me paint the picture more clearly. When you take over a TV station, you broadcast your stuff over what the station is supposed to broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take over the actual station so that you can like cut to different cameras and whatever, which is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an important thing. I didn't actually care, but I did reflect on it, obviously.
I also like Guile's plan was to just, you know, make provocative statements. Like, yeah, fuck you, Bison, haha. And he was like doing a fisting motion.
Wasn't that supposed to be a reference to the character, to the video game character when he wins? One of the poses he does?
Really? No, when he wins? Yeah. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, one of the poses he does when he wins.
Oh, all right. And then, so he was doing that, and he's like, good, he took the bait, let's trace him now. Oh, yeah, there's so many weird things that are really funny and interestingly weird, I guess. But yeah, I want to say again, like, you know, I appreciate it much more now after, you know, realizing how bad of a good movie it is, and the weird, like, behind the scenes things that happened. But did anyone like this when it was released?
I didn't see it when it was released, to be fair. I saw it when I was like 10 to 12 somewhere, I think, first time. So that would be in 98 to 2000 somewhere.
Like in the 90s. Did people like this in the 90s, or?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
I didn't. Oh, okay. For me, I literally walked out of the movie.
Aaron, did you have any memories of conversations with people?
I don't even remember. Like, I know I've seen it much earlier, but I don't remember in what context I saw it. Mm-hmm. It was probably on TV.
Yeah.
As the, you know, whatever night film, Wednesday night film or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have thought, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, like, just another action movie.
Yeah, I've never been a Street Fighter fan, so I wouldn't have got all tied up that they were referencing things wrong and stuff like that. I would have just thought, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I remember, like, having friends that used to like it, and I'd be, like, severely disappointed. Like, how dare you like this? Almost.
I remember one of the reasons I really hated it, because during that year, I also watched The Mask. The Mask was released in cinemas that year. And as dumb as that was, I really enjoyed The Mask. And coming out of that hype, watching Street Fighter, I was like, no.
I like how one of the trivia things is Jean-Claude Van Damme revealed that he had a drug problem during filming.
No shit, seriously? That day he didn't show it at all.
And that he had an extramarital affair with Kylie Minogue.
Seriously?
This is like the first thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first trivia item. That's great.
Oh, no. I told you drugs were involved. Oh my god.
Oh my god, the director deferred his salary to pay for the cast.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I remember reading about that ages ago, yes. Because they had no money, because they were paying people so much.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so you have a $35 million budget, and you're like, yeah, let's give 8 to Jean-Claude.
Yeah, seems like a lot.
Who also kept everything, by the way, because, you know, he's that sort of guy.
Yeah. I mean, what did he really do as well? Like, he was just doing weird stuff in the beginning, and then he did a bunch of kicks at the end of the movie. Like, it was more about Bison and all the other characters, like, 8 million. I think they just paid him a lot of money so they can just put his face on the poster and put him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably worked for them, too.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. But Van Damme.
Money well spent.
Van Damme was a brand that sold movies back then.
Yeah, 33 million domestically and 66 million worldwide.
The only Van Damme movie that I actually like, I remember, was, I think it was called The Quest.
That was I remember liking that.
That was actually more of the real Street Fighter. That what Street Fighter should have been.
Oh my god.
Okay, here's another trivia thing. I remember reading about this earlier. Because Capcom was the co-financer of the film, every aspect of production required their approval. Among other points, they mandated a December 1994 release date, which had required the cast and crew to maintain an aggressive filming schedule. Capcom had long envisioned Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile and asked him to be cast. Fucking Japanese people, they have no idea what they're doing. They're like, yes, he's American. We need him to be...
And yeah, like, yeah, they probably saw him in some movie at some point, and they were like, oh, such a man, we must have.
Yeah, he's a great American hero. After Van Damme was cast as... And Guile as... Raul Julia as Bison, yeah, most of the budget has been spent. Yeah.
Capcom.
Oh my god, yeah, this...
Capcom, yeah, screwing this people over since 1984.
Several of the actors in this movie also appear in Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's great trivia.
I'm surprised Chuck Norris didn't appear in this movie. He would have been great.
Oh, that would have been so good, yeah.
Chuck Norris should have been Guile.
Oh, that would have been awesome sauce.
Yeah, that's what they should have went for. So it all adds up now. So the director, I feel like he was one of these, you know, like, okay, sure, whatever, I don't care.
Wait, I have more brilliant trivia.
Yes, please.
Both Raul Julia and Roshan Seth appeared in films with Harrison Ford. Julia appeared in Presumed Innocent, and Seth appeared in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
What?
Oh, the trivia. Oh. Imagine if, like, you're playing Trivial Pursuit and this question comes up with, like, which...
You're like, wait, I know this! Which Street Fighter actors have also been in movies with Harrison Ford?
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God.
I'm going to mark that one as not helpful. Well, this one I noticed. The Wilhelm scream, like, in the opening of the movie... There's a UN worker thrown, and there's a Wilhelm
scream. Yes, I noticed that one too, and he's thrown into the pit, yeah.
It's like 10 seconds in, they have Wilhelm scream. I'm like, okay, this is going to be great.
It's how you know it's a real film.
Yeah. Like the inside joke of Wilhelm scream, yes.
Star billing. Jean-Claude Van Damme first, and Raul Julia second. Ooh. Oh, whoever wrote this trivia page is just brilliant.
Johan, I have a really good trivia here for you. You can read this one since you like that painting so much.
There is an oil painting in Bison's private quarters of a frowning clown holding a cluster of balloons and wearing Bison's signature cap. This is a reference to the famous Pogo the Clown oil paintings done by infamous serial killer John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, you can see just clown killer. You just can see Bison being pen pals with Gracie.
But that's kind of cool. Because there's lots of trivia about the stuff that was in his room as well, about how it all relates to various
psycho killers.
His historical crazy people.
Uh huh.
But I'm not sure crazy people idealize other crazy people. Because just because they're crazy themselves doesn't mean they can't identify crazy in others. Like, they think that whatever they think is rational, of course, but that doesn't mean that they think that everything is rational.
That is true, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not saying it's not cool and everything, I'm just saying that just because he's crazy doesn't mean that he should think that everything that's crazy is fine. Okay, yeah. Too far. Whatever.
I agree with you. Sure.
No, that's right. That's right. Unless they're copycats, that's a different issue.
Yeah, also, but he doesn't seem like a copycat. Yeah, he seemed way too full of himself to copy someone else.
Bison's plan after he gets all the money, he's gonna build a city. Like, no one's gonna stop him.
Why would they?
Yeah.
Isn't Shadaloo like his? Or something.
Yeah, he's just gonna make it better.
Yeah, it's supposed to be his country, and then they're like, that's the thing. The UN is invading his country.
He's a sovereign leader of a sovereign nation.
Yes, he just took it over, and already has perfect control. Apparently, I mean, you know, doesn't make any sense, but sure.
Yeah, well,
from his hidden secret base.
According to the movie, he was a drug lord who became a general, and then made a coup on the had a coup on the country and took over the country.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense now. What did you guys think of Bison coming back to life with his special
I did not,
suit?
I did not know that, and I didn't see that clip. You know, I just saw when I just right now when I saw that movie that they actually had the balls to think of a second sequel.
Oh, at the very end, they had a...
Oh, you're talking about the beginning, the first time he came back to life.
Yeah, the first time he came back to life. I realized he came back to life
twice. At that point, I lost all hope in the movie. I just said, yeah, okay, continue on. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make any sense. I saw something moving in his chest, and then there was a syringe on the screen, and all of a sudden he came back to life.
Yeah, I told you what it was doing. It was...
Reviving him.
Yeah, reviving him in various steps.
How?
And then it gave him electrical powers. He became Raiden. He could shoot electricity out of his fingertips. That's another reference to video games.
Actually,
I got the impression
that
he could do that all along. He was just waiting until his second form.
This isn't even my final form?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second phase of the last fight.
Yeah. He unlocks that ability.
But did you notice how Street Fighter, when this movie came out, there was a video game based on the movie? And it seemed that they were really mimicking Mortal Kombat.
Street Fighter, the game, the movie.
Mortal Kombat.
They took pictures of all the actors, and it looks like Mortal Kombat. Because the characters are basically real-life people?
Well, Mortal Kombat was selling like hotcakes at that time.
Okay. And that's what they were doing. But it was an arcade, I think, exclusive game.
But, I mean, here's the thing. I remember playing Mortal Kombat. I don't remember playing Street Fighter.
Okay.
Street Fighter, the movie, the game?
Yep.
Street Fighter, the movie,
the game.
Any of the Street Fighters.
Yeah, but dude, you don't remember playing it. Okay.
I don't think any of us played that game, honestly.
No, but Mortal Kombat was great. Like, they had, like...
Strawberry jelly. That's why it was popular.
Yes, lots of strawberry jelly. And it was very well animated, especially. It was great.
Aaron, Johan, did you guys stay for the special after credits Marvel teaser scene?
No.
The bust out.
I did not.
Okay, so I didn't know this.
Like, the second resurrection.
Yep.
So after the credits, Johan, have you seen the movie Ninja Turtles?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, spoilers. Just like in Ninja Turtles, after the credits here, we see this wreckage of the base, and then through the wreckage, Bison punches through and is, you know, alive again.
But then he died, so there wasn't another.
Yes. But
don't forget,
but
my yeah? Sorry, I'll let you go.
He died in real life before the movie's released, so why did they put that scene there? Like, they know.
Apparently they didn't in the cinematic release.
Oh.
In the trivia, that was only on the
My VHS. God, I just watched the thing. Not only is it punching through, there's also on the screen, it's world domination, command, world domination, and there's a button that says replay, and he presses it.
Yeah, because I don't know if you have subtitles on, but my favorite character in the film, which is the computer that does all the notifications in Bison's base all the time about how you have to make sure you have your health and safety checks and make sure you've got your weapons on you and please report to your commander and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's going on about, you know, the warm-up and the solar panels are online, and then she says, welcome, Mr. Bison, what would you like to do today or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then he selects world domination.
Replay. What does that even mean?
Well, clearly it's a Pinky and the Brain reference.
Okay. So he's just gonna do it again, like, or is it like a game? Like, let's play it again, replay.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing when he was using that.
Game over!
Yes, game over!
Oh my god, the corn.
See, that's what I was meaning of the drinking game. You drink when there's a specific reference to the video game. Like, did you see what we do? Did we see what we did? That was in the video game.
Yeah. Game over. But it wasn't in a video game. It was just like referencing gaming in general. Oh my god, yeah.
But, alright, so, was there a soundtrack, by the way?
I was going to talk about that. I can't remember the Street Fighter soundtrack. I remember there was one song that was good, the Ryu song. But I can't say that I'm a real expert on the video game soundtrack. Rakan?
I sat through the credits, because I couldn't move to turn off the film. And,
I love the reason.
And it was just a bunch of, like, 90s rap tracks, which was fine. It's not really my scene. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the actual song listings in the credits.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was like LL Cool J and Ice Cube and like all of these like big name rappers at the time.
Yeah.
Did music for the soundtrack, which I don't remember being in the film at all. Yeah,
exactly. Me too.
So they must have just made like a concept album.
Yeah.
And released that separately.
Yeah, I think so.
And called it the Street Fighter soundtrack.
What a brilliant idea.
Because Carl, I was watching this with him as well, and he was like, this is one of the best soundtracks ever. Look at this track list. And he was like legitimately, like unironically saying it's a great soundtrack.
In the movie
and
itself.
He listens to it all the time. And I was like, okay.
But it's not in the movie, like I don't.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but they didn't put it in the movie.
It's not in the movie. It's just a good soundtrack, if you like.
I remember kind of, they, like, yeah, I remember like, they were playing a song when they were on the boat that really didn't fit the scene.
Yes, that really stood out to me as well. And then he started playing like home movies, and he's like watching home movies.
Oh, yeah.
While he was on the boat.
Exposition.
I love the part also where Bison is like, you know, talking to Guile and with the hostages, and Guile is like, "Don't worry, Charlie, we're coming for you, Charlie."
Yeah, that was stupid.
Don't worry, we got you, Charlie.
You just gave your friend away.
And then Bison's like, "Huh,
Charlie." I wonder if it's the next person I was gonna kill.
Oh, you must be Charlie. Take him to the laboratory. Laboratory.
The laboratory.
The laboratory.
Where we lobotomize the people.
Yes. And what was with the bump on Jean-Claude Van Damme's head? Does he always have that bump?
Drugs.
He had a bump on the right left side of his
forehead. Yeah, I saw it too.
All throughout the movie. He just was very...
Well, they filmed it in a really short period of time, so it's possible he, like, smacked his head or something. And the swelling didn't go down before they filmed. I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
And then he killed Raul Julian set.
With his spinning back kick. When he came out of the tube.
Oh, the flying kick.
When they're expecting it to be Blanka, and it's Jean-Claude Van Damme flying kicking out of the tube. It was great.
It was perfect. I also like the part where he was kicking Bison, and he used the Guile flash kick move.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used it again. And at this point, everyone was shouting at the screen, like, "Stop spamming! Stop!"
I noticed that as well.
Stop doing the same move! That's overpowered! It's cheap. So that is like a legit Street Fighter tech. Just spam.
And I love the bit where Kylie Minogue just starts screaming her moves at one point. And she screams drop kick. And she just like kicks a guy. Like in the leg. Like, so if you believe it enough, you yell it enough, then you know it'll be the move you do.
You could totally tell that she's doing her own stunts, right, guys? Every time it cuts to a wide and it's a different person as Cabby, it's just great, because obviously Kylie Manu can't fight. And she was really bad.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. She was so bad. She was amazing. Carl like kept on pointing out all those flaws in all her fights. He's like, "Hey guys, notice how everyone is fighting? Now look at Kylie Manure. Look what she's doing."
Kylie Manure.
Did you just call her Kylie Manure?
I'm sorry. I'm so used to calling her that with certain friends and group of people. It's Kylie Minogue. Right?
Minogue.
Minogue.
She's not like French or anything, man.
You have a thing with names, I have to say. Like, sometimes you'll say it correctly and then suddenly it's Manure.
Well, I don't listen to pop, so I don't know Kylie Minogue.
So you can't do the locomotion.
I don't listen to her music either. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay. But again, like, it's my bad. Like, as kids, I remember she came up once in a while, and people kept calling her Kylie Manure, and it was funny, so it stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Manure seems to, you know.
Yeah, you know when your kid's like, ah, ha, 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 Kylie Manure. So, yeah. My apologies to all the Kylie Minogue fans. to the one of you. To the one person who's listening. I'm just gonna pronounce her name. Kelly Minogue. Kelly Minogue. Just gonna pronounce her name differently.
Kelly Minogue. Where Kelly, are you, Kelly?
Kelly Minogue?
Kelly Minogue. Kelly Minogue.
Hey, have you guys heard of Christy Mellows? Australian singer?
I mean, Aaron's got to be on
board. Austrian singer?
An Austrian singer. That's a very good impression of me. 10 out of 10. I give it. Yeah, I rate that. 10 out of 10. Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice how long we've been recording for. We're just rambling on and on in a random.
Yes, I was going to try to wrap this up like 20 minutes ago, but then we had more things to say, apparently.
Hey, guys, remember this? This is amazing. But yeah.
So I'm gonna do this thing.
You do
that
it.
That you usually do, Rakan, but fuck
it. Go for
it.
Yeah, I was about to do it. I'll let you do it. Go for it.
So, what do you guys think? Would you recommend this movie, Rakan?
Yes, I would totally recommend this film with two or three people. It's amazing. Just for Bison's, you know, Raul. Let me see how I can butcher his name. Raul Julius performance? Ralph.
Sure.
Ralph Julius' performance as,
yes,
as Mr. Bison,
yeah,
is perfect.
It. Mr. Bison.
It's Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
I thought his name was Vega.
Oh shit, yeah, Japanese version. Good point. Amazing. I mean, his eyes.
I have already called him Vega once,
yeah,
reckon,
yeah.
So.
I did. Okay, my bad. No, I might have said. Okay, whatever. I don't know. His eyes alone are worth, you know, the price of.
His crazy stare eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Aaron?
Yes, of course. What's there not to love about this film? I have to say, I think it's a really good mix of intentionally funny and unintentionally funny. Like, some of the jokes in it are really good, and some of them are terrible, but still funny anyway because the movie's so bad. So, I think combined together, it hits this perfect sweet spot. And Raul Julia makes it great.
All right, so Bander, what do you think?
I'm the odd one out on this movie. I really didn't like it. I did not enjoy my time watching it. It was some nostalgia trip, but the editing, I couldn't just get over it. It gave me a headache. And yes, while it had some funny moments, the movie is a total mess. You can't really keep up with anything to have fun. That's my opinion. Sorry.
I think you must have taken this movie too seriously, because I know you mentioned like the cutting between different, I mean, you know, jumping around or whatever, and that's annoying. And I get that, sure. But everything else, like, because I mean, my opinion is that I highly recommend it. When I was young, it wasn't that good. Now, because I didn't take it seriously, because I know it's Jean-Claude, and I know he can't act, right? I mean, I know all these things. It was a wonderful experience because I didn't expect anything. There's no story. There's just silly costumes and acting and bad jokes, which sometimes are, like, actually good, like Aaron said. So I don't like... if you don't take it seriously, it's gonna be a good time. If you take it seriously, it's gonna be awful, I think, but I wouldn't know for sure because I can't take this seriously, right? So with that, take us out, Rakan.
All right. thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion about the movie Street Fighter. We'll see you all next week with another movie that we haven't selected yet. Bye, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's like there's too much power. Like I should just leave some of the stuff in, or like make a like an edit where it's all of that stuff and put it in the beginning or the end.
It's just a list of like clicks and pops and breathes and chokes and sneezes.
Exactly.
Today we're discussing Street Fighter. So what do you guys think about Jean-Claude Van Damme?
For extra fun, I'm about to receive a massive bowl of soup that I'm going to eat.
Be sure to sip it quite delicately.
Oh no, I'm going to slurp this.
That's great. Should what we just... What's happening with Bender? Do we just talk around him?
Should we just start recording again when he's done? Or
No. I'm gonna use some of this. It's fine. You. This is great. Norm.
This is great. This is what it's all about. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we've lost Bender.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Now we completely lost him.
Hello.
Oh, so the guy from
Hello
Gandhi is hello. In this movie. Hello.
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 What's happening now?
It's worse.
What is that sound? What are you doing?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Can you hear us?
I think it's something wrong with my headphones. I have new headphones here. I'm taking them out of the box.
No?
Okay. That's what that sound is.
Hello? 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 Guys? Hello? Hello?